Well, how many people get to preach when they get laid off? Probably not too many. But I wanted that announcement to be before I spoke intentionally. That was by design, because I wanted to preach about that today, and not just for me personally, but for people, us as people, because I'm not the only one who's ever gotten laid off from a job. I'm not the only one who's faced difficult circumstances. We all have, and I think God speaks to our lives. So what do you do when life throws you a curveball? How do you navigate? What questions do you ask? And we're trying to make decisions and navigate life, we would often prefer to have a map. We've got a nice map here of Kamloops and area. Vern's got this map, it's a good one. Shows you all the back roads, hiking trails, quadding, all that good stuff. But we would like, at least I would, maybe, I can't necessarily speak for you, but I think for a lot of us, we'd like to have a map to navigate life. Like, God, just give me a map. Where do I go? What's the road I take? And when you look at the map, it's got things all nicely laid out. Everything's labeled. You've got rivers, elevation, roads, bridges, and you just kind of pick the road that you want to go on, and you follow the map. You know, it's still possible to get lost, but the map is there. It gives you the directions. You just need to figure out where you are and where you want to go, and the map helps you get there. But the reality is that life usually does not come with a map, not to the level of detail that we would like anyhow. And it's the same, you know, if you've ever had someone say, like, kids don't come with an owner's manual, right? You figure it out. There's no one way to raise children. There's no one specific way to navigate life. And God doesn't usually give us a map to the level of detail we might want. And now today, I am just old enough, well, not even just old enough. I didn't grow up with cell phone. Phones weren't a thing until I was around 20. So I never even had a phone as a teenager. Now, I'll be the last generation that hasn't grown up without a phone. Our kids are in that generation. They'll never know life differently. But I do know what it was like before Google Maps and iMaps and all of those things we have on our phone. But even, you know, back in the day, you had to navigate using one of these, right? You're on a road trip, you got to get out your paper map, figure it out. Nowadays, we just throw it on an app, and all you have to do is follow the prompts, right? To some extent, you don't even have to really think. And your map's like, turn left on Chunkile in 500 meters. It doesn't know how to pronounce the street names, but you can guess what it means, and you just follow the prompts and you get where you're going. You punch in your destination and off you go. But there's no map and no app that tells you how to live your life. The Bible gives us, of course, our outline, our general guidelines. There's certain things that the Bible gives us, sort of markers or signposts along the way. But my journey is going to be different than your journey, and the Bible doesn't tell me how to live my life to that level of detail in exactly what decisions to make or what route to choose when there may be more than one route available. And we live in an era where there are plenty of authors and influencers, Instagrammers, YouTubers who are very happy to sell you a map of how to live life. If you follow these four steps, you are guaranteed to be happier, healthier, wealthier, whatever it is, right? But you got to buy it from them so that they are wealthier and maybe happier, I don't know. But when we look at Jesus, when we read the Gospels, he never claimed to be a map. Jesus seemed to present himself more as a guide. His invitation was, come, follow me. He didn't say, this is where we're going, this is how we're going to get there, this is exactly what's going to happen. He just said, follow me. And the Iona community has a quote that says about Jesus, for you did not say you were the answer, you said you were the way. And that's actually what the church, the early church, was known as. People weren't called Christians at the time. Christian was actually a derogatory term from the culture around them. They called themselves the Way, following Jesus, who is the Way. So Jesus never said he was the map. He never said he was the answer. He said he was the Way. So this morning, I want to invite you to come with me on a journey. Maps, as good as they are probably not going to be super helpful in this journey. So we're going to put it away, and we're going to look for a moment at the compass. So there's a few people, maybe you've used one of these before when you're out in the woods. But I'm going to argue that a better method than a map for getting through life is a compass. Now, the difference between a map gives you all the detail. A compass doesn't give you any detail other than which way is north. And even then, you have to be careful because it's pointing you towards magnetic north, not true north. And you have to take into account where you are in the hemisphere so you have your declination set correctly. Otherwise, you're going to go the wrong way. But when you know the direction that you want to go, a compass will keep you pointed in that direction. The map can't tell you what way you are going. The map just shows you the lay of the land. A compass can actually tell you the direction that you're going. Now, when you're using a compass to navigate in the woods, you need to follow the bearing that you're following to try and get from point A to point B. But the compass doesn't tell you necessarily what obstacles might be in your path. You may or may not know that there's a cliff at a certain point along your route. You may or may not know that there's a lake that's going to get in your way. Now, when you come to an obstacle like that, when you have your compass, you're following your bearing, you're going along, now there's a lake in front of you. You got to get around that lake. Unless you're Jesus, you're going to have to go around the lake. Jesus might have been able to go over the lake, and he wouldn't have bothered with, you know, his compass. He could have just walked over it. You and me are going to have to walk around it. So what you do is you set your bearing on something that you can see across the lake, whether that is, you know, a boulder, a log, something obvious that you can recognize when you get to the other side of the lake. Because what's going to happen if you don't do that, you set your bearing, you go around the lake, you kind of guess maybe where you were, and you take your bearing again, but if you are not at the point that is directly across the lake from where you took your original bearing from, you're now setting a bearing from over here, which changes your angle, which means you're now going to miss your destination because you're no longer following the same line. So if you set your bearing to a specific point, go around the lake, line up at the specific point where you were from the other side of the lake, then you take your bearing again and keep going, and you're now on the same line that you were before. Because if you don't, even a small error of just being, you know, a couple of meters off at one point, depending how far you're going, can mean being dozens, hundreds, or even kilometers off later because you've deviated from the line of your bearing. And you're going to miss your destination if you don't stay on the same bearing. And our lives, I think, are much the same in that we're constantly encountering obstacles that the map didn't tell us about. Because I can look at this map and I can get the lay of the land. I can know the general outline of what's out there, the roads, the big features, the lakes, the mountains. I can see those things. But the map is not living. It doesn't tell me that there's been a landslide since that map was published that has changed the route, or that this bridge has washed out, or that river has changed course. It doesn't tell me those things. It doesn't tell me what obstacles I'm going to encounter or along a specific route. With the compass, we can navigate through or over or around those obstacles while staying on the same course. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, the obvious reference point is Jesus himself. Because when we set our bearing on Jesus and we follow him, we're not going to deviate from the course. And when things happen in life, we can continually check and recheck our bearing, our reference point on Jesus. knowing that as we follow him, if we continually recalibrate, reset ourselves on Jesus, we're going to be following him. We're going to get where we're going. We might not know exactly how we're getting there, or what options are going to be presented, or what obstacles we may encounter, but we're going to get there if we stay with Jesus. Adam Grant is an author I've really enjoyed over the last few years. Not a Christian, as far as I know, but he has some great writing. And his newest book is called Hidden Potential. And he writes that thinking we need a perfectly laid out map before moving forward with our goals keeps us feeling stuck. Instead, the goal should be grab hold of a compass. And you see the quote up here, and you have a nice map. And that's what we think we need, is a perfect map. And what we actually need is a general direction. And says the bad news is that a perfect map won't exist. The exact route hasn't been plotted for us. There may not even be a road. We might have to pave our own way, figuring out the route as we go, one turn at a time. And the good news is that to start moving, we don't actually need a map. All we need is a compass to gauge whether we're heading in the right direction. The compass helps us to keep moving in the right way without getting caught up in all of the details of, should I go left, should I go right, do I take this road, do I take that road, how fast do I go, all of those things. The compass points us in the right direction. So when we set out in the journey, looking at the map can be helpful, but it's the compass that points us in the right direction. However, both the map and the compass don't serve much purpose unless we actually step out the front door. And here we find the difference between motion and action. Motion is the illusion of action. We want to get healthy, so we read a book, but we don't do anything. We want to try a new hobby, so we buy some gear, but we don't use it. Motion is thinking about something. I'm doing something by buying this item or reading this book or listening to that podcast. Those things are good, but unless we do something, it's just motion. It's not action. Movement requires action. And the old saying is that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And Bilbo Baggins said to Frodo, "It's dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step on the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." And I find it interesting that when Jesus walked physically on this earth, he seemed to spend a lot of time walking, actually walking. It doesn't seem like he spent a lot of time sitting around. He did, you know, and he paused and taught crowds here and there and had, you know, what we would call sermons and did church and those kinds of things. But he didn't seem to spend a ton of time doing those things. He spent a lot of time walking, and he seemed to spend a lot of time walking with the disciples, going from town to town as they traveled, met people, had conversations. They walked, and they had a lot of time to have these conversations. It was referenced this morning, the road to Emmaus. They were walking. They had a long journey of multiple hours walking together, and Jesus had time on this walk to unpack the scriptures to these two disciples who were walking with him. And when Jesus was with his disciples, he didn't really seem to have a set curriculum that he was trying to teach them. He was certainly teaching them to follow him, and there's certainly biblical principles that he taught them, but I don't think he had a set curriculum in that, like, he didn't seem to quiz the disciples. They didn't have to write papers. They didn't have to have things perfectly together. He was often, when he taught, it was in response to a question that the disciples asked. They would ask him about something, or a scenario would present itself, or they'd be walking along the road, and they'd be like, "Hey, see that?" They would notice something, they would begin talking about it, and Jesus would begin teaching them as they walked. And even our education model today is probably more like a map than a compass. We've got learning outcomes, we've got things we have to memorize, fill in the blank, multiple choice, write the test, get the information correct, regurgitate what the teacher tells you, and you're going to pass the class, probably. But God doesn't seem to operate that way very much. Author Mark Buchanan says this: "We walk with a God who seems in no particular hurry, and who, it seems, enjoys the going there as much as the getting there, a God who is slow." And Jesus seems to be more interested in who we are becoming, the character that is developing, and he's more interested in the journey than in getting somewhere quickly, which is often the exact opposite of what our culture teaches us, that we have to get to the destination, and not only do we need to get there, but we need to get there quickly, we need to get there efficiently, and we need to be really busy along the way. Jesus doesn't seem to operate like that. Now, a journey often comes with unexpected changes and events. There's things that happen in a journey that you can't predict. You don't necessarily, hopefully your car is maintained well, but you can't necessarily predict that you're going to run over a nail and get a flat tire. Things happen, right? The journey is not always predictable. And in life, who chooses to lose a loved one? Probably no one. Who chooses to get laid off from a job, right? Most people don't want to. But change often happens outside of our choice. And change can feel like a dead end or a lost future. And I want to read this quote from William Bridges. And it says, "This is the way change often feels in our lives, like a barrier across our path, a disruption of our plans, a big hole that's opened up at our feet. Naturally, look for a way to get over it. This may not be a path that you wanted to take or that you will necessarily find enjoyable, but it is a path with meaning for you, and following it will bring you to a new place. Since change is a wall and transition the gate in that wall, it's there for you to go through. Transition represents a path to the next phase of your life." Now, a compass keeps us pointed in the right direction, and beginning to walk gets us going. And sometimes, though, we need more than a map, a path, and a compass. We need a guide. Regent College's James Houston once commented that within the evangelical Christian world, we have spiritual maps and map makers ad nausea, when what we really need is a few mountain guides who've been there before us on the journey. And it's the same thing in the Christian world, right? We have a lot of books, especially nowadays where publishing is relatively easy. Most people can sit down with a computer and write. We've got a lot of books, and there's lots of great books out there, and you can buy lots of great books, and lots of those books are genuinely helpful. But by the time you've read the 10th book on the same topic and you're still stuck in the same place, you realize that reading someone else's journey or reading all of the books you can is not going to get you where you're going just by reading the maps that people have written. And again, there's lots of people that have written maps, and there's lots of people that are happy to sell you a map. But sometimes what we need is a guide. And the guide doesn't have to be a famous author. They don't have to be a well-known influencer. They don't have to have anything that we might consider externally important. It just has to be someone who's following Jesus, someone who's maybe a little bit ahead of us, who can give us some guidance, or just walk with us. And if I'm doing a hike personally, I can probably follow the guidebook, the map, and the compass, and probably find where I'm going. But if I'm with someone who's done the hike before, someone who knows the way, it's that much easier because they know the route, they know the trail, they know that the trail gets a little faint around this spot and you've got to go around that tree and then the trail picks up again, where I may not see that right away, not having done that particular trail before. And that's why we walk with other apprentices of Jesus, someone who's been there before, someone who has walked the path and who has found it to be the way. And the interesting thing, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but you can talk to your map, you can yell at it, you can talk to your phone and yell at it, but it doesn't have a lot to say back to you. You can't really have a good conversation with the map or with your Google app, even though you might yell at it. But you can talk to a guide. You can have a conversation with a guide. And that's the difference between navigating with a map and a compass and Google Maps and having a guide. The guide has been there before, and they can have a conversation with you. You can talk to them. And again, Mark Buchanan says this, and he's talking in reference to his own journey, where he's further along in the journey of Christ. He's been a pastor. He's been a Christian for a long time. But he says, often now it's guidance I need, not knowledge. What I lack is not information, but discernment. The map, and he's referring to the Bible, that I've almost committed to memory. But navigating the terrain, that only a guide can give. Because when you look at the Bible and you read the Bible, sometimes we would like the Bible to give us direction in very specific situations, and it just doesn't. A lot of times it doesn't give us direction to the level of detail that we might want. It gives us principles and outlines and things that are right and wrong, but it's not necessarily going to tell you when you have two job offers on the table that you should take that job or that job. The Bible doesn't tell you that exclusively. Those are things where you have to seek discernment, wisdom, prayer, people around you. So in looking at this today, the question, of course, for us is, what's next? Well, we don't exactly know. But we came here on a step of faith, and we stepped out of our comfort zone, and God provided a path to get here. So the journey continues. We trust God and his ability to guide us forward. And as I was thinking about this, there is a guy named Steve Cuss. He's got a website called stevecusswords.com. Funny guy. He has a play on his own name there. Christian author. He says, where's the gap between what we believe about God and what we experience in our lives? So in other words, what do we say we believe about God, and what do we actually do? And are those things the same? When we say we believe something about God, do we live as if that is true? I can say I trust God, but when I'm challenged, do I actually trust God? When I go through difficult times, do I actually put my faith in God? When push comes to shove, do we do what we say we believe? Do we trust God the way that we say we do? Do we follow him as guide, or do we look to YouTube or the news or books or whatever it might be, right? And for me personally, my views and experiences of God over the last number of years have become much less rigid and more about following him. And it's okay to ask God questions. There's freedom to explore. God's not worried by your questions. God is not afraid that you might question him or question something or question something that you've heard. I can guarantee you he's heard it before, and he's not worried about it. And in this season, and I would encourage you, when you face difficulties in your life, question marks, consider what are the things that actually build a relationship with Jesus? What are the things that draw you close to him? Because getting your doctrine right is a good thing. Knowing your theology is a good thing. But if you only know about those things, and you don't know Jesus, and you aren't following him on a daily basis, you can have a lot of information that doesn't actually help you that much. Because once you know the information, then you need discernment. So what are the possibilities for you in your current situation? What might Jesus be leading you towards? And for me, although it's not perfect, this illustration of the compass has been really helpful in this phase of our journey, because I'm someone that typically would like to have the map. I'd like it all laid out. I want to get here, so I just take this route, go here, turn left there, so on and so forth. Easy enough, just follow the path. But when you don't have the map, and often life doesn't give you the map, if you have the compass and you orientate it towards Jesus, it's going to keep you at least moving in the right direction. You still have to make choices along the way. You still need discernment, and hopefully you have guides that can come alongside you, people that you can reach out to. Sometimes you need someone to talk with. Sometimes you need to have a conversation. And for me, last year, some of you may know this, I took some training to be a life coach. And what's interesting in that is that even different from a guide, where a guide will tell you where to go because they've been there before on the trail, right? You just follow the guide, they will get you from point A to point B as you follow them. But a coach, actually, doesn't necessarily know anything about your situation. And they don't necessarily know, they don't have any answers for you. What a coach does is partners with you to help you think through and reflect on what you are saying, and to help offer maybe some questions, some prompts, some reflections of your own words in order to help you discern the direction that you want to go. So you partner with someone and help them to discern the path. So the problem sometimes with a guide or even a mentor or a teacher is that they may prescribe a set of directions based on their own experiences or their own knowledge. Well, you need to do this in order to get here. This is what I did when I was in that situation, therefore that's what you should do. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. But what a coach does is helps you discern the path that God is leading you on, which may be a unique path. It may be something that is not entirely obvious, but it's someone who's partnering with you to help find that path and that discernment. But the compass helps us take the next right step, and rather than waiting for the map, just start moving forward. Use the compass, find the direction, set it on Jesus, and start moving. Because as we move, we're able to discern the path. If you stay where you are and don't move at all, you're not going to go anywhere. If you wait for the map, you're probably going to stay stuck for a long time. With Jesus, he seemed to lead along the way. The disciples followed him, and as they walked, as they encountered situations, they learned. Jesus didn't give them a set curriculum, but he responded to their questions, taught them as they asked, as they encountered situations, he responded to their questions and taught them. And when an obstacle comes to mind, keep focusing on the compass. What is the right direction to go? What is the next step look like? I don't need to know the next 10 steps. I just need to know the next step and keep moving the right direction. And something someone said to me that is interesting is where we look is where we go. So if you're focused on something, you're going to go towards that, right? Now this is an interesting illustration from disc golf. Disc golf can teach you life lessons. Sometimes when you're throwing, and often there's trees on disc golf courses, right? If you've ever played disc golf, there's trees. They're annoying. They get in the way. You throw a really good shot, and you hit a tree. Why is the tree there? Sometimes people will tell you, aim at the tree because you're not going to hit it, in the sense of no one is that precise, right? Just aim at the tree. You'll probably miss it anyhow. But the funny thing about doing is that you actually often hit the tree because you're thinking about the tree. And you're thinking about aiming at the tree, and surprisingly, you hit what you aim at. Sometimes, not always, but it's better to aim where you actually want to go. If you want to go around the tree, then aim around the tree. Don't aim at the tree. Aim past the tree. Think about where you actually want to throw. And that's going to be a better way to get there than trying to think about hitting the obstacle that you actually don't want to hit. And it's the same in life. Where we look is where we go. The things that we're focused on are the things that we end up pursuing. The things that we constantly spend our time focusing on are the things that we end up going towards. So think about what you're looking at in your life. Where do you want to go? What are you spending your time focusing on? And when we take our compass and set it on Jesus, focus on Him, look at Him, look to Jesus, and then, not too surprisingly, we end up walking towards Jesus. This morning, let me just close in prayer, because I know, like I said before, all of us, I'm certain, have faced difficult situations. All of us face question marks, and we all encounter obstacles in our lives. Lord, as we seek You, as we look to You, may You be for us the guide, the way, the one who knows where we're going. We don't need all the answers. We don't need the perfect map. We just need to know You, to trust You, Lord. As You lead, as You guide, let us follow You. You seem to have a pretty good idea where you're going and where the right way to go is. Lord, we trust You, put our faith in You, and look to You. We pray this in Your name. Amen.